So hello everyone, hi once again, my name is Ola and this is The Real House. We just screened Joker for Joker 2. I'm not gonna mess up the word, and I've got an amazing group of people that are going to be joining me and we're going to be talking about the movie. I'm going to call first of all Karen. Karen is an international journalist with over 15 years of experience in journalism and PR. Please clap for her. Amazing. Yes. Next person is Brad Hansen. Brad Hansen is a podcaster and the co-host of two podcasts, X Rental Podcast and Gore Things Podcast. Yes. Thank you. And then we have Candy G. Candy G is a media entrepreneur. She regularly hosts events and appears as a speaker on numerous media events that include films and fashion. Thank you very much for coming. And how is everyone doing?
Yeah. Doing good, yeah.
Yeah, we're good, thank you.
Good, thank you.
And everyone, how are you? Are you all good? Amazing.
Love that.
Cool. So what do we think about the movie? Let's start from there. What do we think about, and we can go that way, start from here. Just, yeah, go on.
I'm still digesting. I think it was intense and not what I expected based on the first Joker. And a lot of having to make out what's real and what's reality, which was the purposeful, I'm sure. So we probably saw the film in a lens of the Joker.
Definitely.
Yeah, it feels like a sort of almost like anti-Joker film, where like I feel like Todd Phillips, the director, maybe didn't love all the attention that the first Joker film got. And this feels almost like the antithesis of what the first Joker film was, which was this gritty character study, sort of Scorsese-esque to a fault at times. And this one, he's kind of almost punished the audience with like a courtroom musical, which I don't think anyone really expected that to be what he did with the second film. So I like that he took a big swing. Does it necessarily work for me? The swings and roundabouts. Mm. Yeah.
I preferred the first Joker to the second one, the one we watched today. I felt today they kind of watered it down a bit compared to like what I was expecting. I thought we would have got more of a story, a follow-on story. I felt a bit disappointed with like the ending especially as well. Yes, I didn't like the musical side of it either. I think that took away. You know, they could have done more to the movie if they didn't put that in.
Yeah, you know? I understand. But I feel like I agree with everyone.
Made it more gimmicky.
I understand. Yeah. I understand where you're coming from. But I feel like the music was there to elevate the emotional intensity of the film. I was not expecting it to be a musical. Obviously, I heard it was going to be a musical a while ago. But I think, weirdly, it makes it more interesting. Like we're really in the minds of the Joker and Harley Quinn's mind, and we're really seeing exactly, where they're at. And I just like how, they use music to sort of explore or explain their love or explain the intensity of emotions. Yeah.
I thought maybe they use the musical maybe as just a strategy, marketing wise, maybe they wanna do other things with the movie. That's what I was getting because I didn't see the purpose of the music. Because if you see on the first one, we were talking about dramatics, I felt the camera worked on that a lot. Like, I don't know if you remember the scene in the first one when he's smoking, he's on the stairs. Like, for me, that was like a really great piece of cinematography. Like, I really like that. I didn't think I got that much from this movie. I feel the musical overshadowed it, made it very gimmicky.
I was going to say some of the musical break were too long for me.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to fast forward to the actual story and the plot. To me, it was distracting. It was gimmicky, like you said. And I really expected a sequel to the first one. This could be a standalone, per se, almost film. The only thing that they reference to the first one is obviously the people he killed, but that was that. And I thought they would delve more into what happened to him as a child so we could understand why he is who he is, but they didn't go any further into that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like perhaps we should touch a bit on what Brad said about how this film was almost an intentional killing of, in terms of the reaction of the first film.
Certainly.
So, and I feel like a question I'd like to pull across is, what do you feel like this movie was sort of exploring the sort of traditional narratives in terms of psychological horror, and was it just trying to break it down, change it, dissect just the exploration of traditional horror filmmaking?
Well, I think they sort of, you know, both films have really leaned into the psychological aspect of mania, which has been explored through cinema since day one. And it's something that, as you touched upon, gets used a lot in horror cinema. Look at examples like The Shining, Misery, In the Mouth of Madness, great sort of underseen John Carpenter film. They're these films which follow people's characters at a sort of slow descent into mania. And the Joker films have been doing that. And I guess, would you really want to see the same thing you saw again in Joker 2? I think adding this sort of musical element, I think for one, having Lady Gaga as the sort of central lead with Joaquin Phoenix, it almost lends itself. It's almost begging out to be a musical when you've got, you know, one of the generation's songbirds, shall we call it. It seems a shame to not have them singing it, really. But as I touched upon at the beginning, it does feel somewhat reactionary to the reception that the first film received. As I say, I admire that it, I mean, am I tapping my foot along? Am I enjoying the musical breaks as much as I could? Probably not. But I like that it at least endeavoured to change how we're exploring the mind of Arthur Fleck.
So Candy, would you like to sort of speak a bit about the impact or the, and you could also relate this in terms of the real world, just the impact of sort of shared madness in film and how that has an impact?
Okay, firstly, I'd say, how would I define shared madness? I'd believe that it's maybe one person who's got a psychotic diagnosis, and, you know, they've got like maybe a couple. It could, if we want to look on a different spectrum, we could maybe look on it like politically as well, that you could influence someone, but, or even from a family standpoint. But from this movie, it's based on a couple, shared madness, you know, like with the, is it like the Bundys and those kind of serial killers, you know? So it's like a delusion that they kind of shared that kept them together. But really and truly, again, I don't think that this film touched on Harley Quinn and Joker's shared madness as much as it should have, because if you watch the series, it gives a different outlook in the movie. You know, I feel like it shows a bit more in the series. He's more manipulative, because with shared madness, it's about that person with the, I don't know how to say, yeah, it politically correct, you know, but, you know, with the psychological issue, the primary person, because they both would have it, but the primary person manipulates the other person to act on it more, so they play on it more. So that's how I would define it.
I think that kind of happened with their meeting, and how Harley Quinn was almost a catalyst or a spark for him to just fully immerse himself into that delusion that they were living in, and like pushed him. And I feel like they were, even the way the cinematographer told the journey of their delusion, like he used a lot of colors, and there was just a very specific way that they used their shared madness to sort of influence the whole movie. And we see that a lot in terms of just collective agreement in terms of things that are just crazy in the society and in the world. Mm. And once we've got that collective agreement of, okay, we just think this is right, and we all just go towards it. And as I think this film kind of touches on that.
However, in the film, I thought it was quite interesting where they tried to imply that she lied. So I thought, is she really crazy? Or because she studied psychology, they took the time to mention that. And I thought, is she playing with him, playing along? Because ultimately she can go back to her life.
But some people actually want to escape from their real life.
For sure.
They actually go into a different personality. So maybe she allowed herself to be influenced by him, you know, to get away from her reality.
But when he didn't turn out...
I'd argue she's the catalyst.
No.
I'd say that she's the one that's informing Joker to be Joker now.
To be Joker now, yeah. But if you looked on the first one, the mixed race lady that they brought into court, if you remember when they were standing watching the screen, she actually influenced him unknowingly. You know, when... she mentioned, oh, I'm glad that they killed the Joker guy, killed those three guys on the train. Mm-hmm. And his face, it lit up. So that's what kind of made him go into that kind of stance, you know.
But as I was saying, in this film, I felt more like it was manipulation. When
what,
she said,
from her side?
From her side, when she's saying she's pregnant. And I'm like, yeah, you're smoking. Yeah. I don't think she was. And the minute he didn't do what she thought he was going to do, it was like, yeah, it's over. Yeah. So now she can just go to the next subject.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, we're all looking for someone to match our freak. And,
and he didn't. So.
He didn't match her freak, so he's got to go.
So, but what about the moment? I think there's that moment in the movie where the other inmate in there dies. And I feel like that was his sort of his moment of realization of the darkness that he spread into the world or something, like, you know, because this other inmate is heavily influenced by him, probably his lover, we don't really know, but he's really influenced by the Joker, and we hear him die in the cell. And I feel like the impact of that was what sort of showed that crack in the delusion, which is what Lady Gaga did not like, because it was at that moment he went to the courts, he was in all of a sudden in a dark suit and she was in red. And that was like a power moment, I thought. That was where it was shifting the dynamic in terms of their relationship.
I didn't think that the death of the other inmate was what made him be that way. I think it's what the guards did to him, which was implied, that broke something in him. And we can interpret or think what it is happening. When in that bathroom. And that's why the day after... he dressed differently because they broke him. And I think they attacked him because he said something about the guards in the jail. So that was reprimand. That's how I interpreted it.
Yeah, they broke him and that's what made him not keep to what he was going to do when he was
exactly. Yeah. That was the catalyst.
Another thing as well is you mentioned a lot of the colours and stuff. Mm. You got to remember with Joker, his actual diagnosis that he's got is based on him being depressed from stuff that happened to him in his past. So I feel like, you know, like the cameras, the music, like just everything to do with like the way they presented that movie is to give us that message about that. They gave us that dark, depressing kind of thing to give us that understanding of that. Like someone mentioned earlier about seeing the world through Joker's eyes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what they've done in this one.
Would you watch this movie over again? Like, is this something that you enjoyed or were you just somewhat uncomfortable watching it?
I mean, that was my second time watching it. Thank you.
That was my second time watching it, and I shan't be, I won't be rushing for a third, shall we say.
No, I won't watch it again, and I didn't like the end.
Yeah, I wouldn't watch it again either. I didn't like the end either.
If you could change anything about this film, what would you change?
I would keep the musical element, but make those musical breaks shorter, and... probably develop a little bit more into his character because we don't know how long he's been in that institution.
Yeah, it was just thrown on us, wasn't it?
Yeah, sorry?
It was just thrown on us.
It was thrown on us, so it looks like there's something missing. And you saw the little cartoon at the beginning of the film. There was a cartoon with the Joker and then he breaks into the film. I wasn't sure about that either, the transition.
I think that's harking back to sort of the old days of cinema. We used to have a little A-reel before.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. You would start the main feature.
One thing that I can say is you mentioned The Shining and films like that from before, and they used to do like the stereotype of psychotic people just going around, just stabbing everyone, killing everyone, just being crazy. Whereas now they've modernized it. And plus they always was in asylums. Mm. If you look at modern films where they're portraying about people with psychological issues, you're noticing that they're changing it a bit. So they're showing solutions where they'll probably be showing them talking to therapists more and stuff like that, whereas they weren't doing that before. That's, you know.
And a musical element again.
And a musical. I think it's going to make a really good musical. And be an interesting musical.
Wow.
It's not a me.
Off Broadway, probably.
Oh, yeah.
it's an interesting one because it's set in the early 80s. So, you know, those sort of therapies that we come to expect in contemporary cinema couldn't really be, you know, they would have obviously had psychologists. They come up on stage and they talk about it on when they're on the stand. But, you know, mental health sort of support in the 80s wasn't great. It's still not really great now. But, you know, the society is moving on. So the thing is, it's just that this is Arthur's Fleck way out, right? Because I think we can see from the end of the film, we're not going to be getting a Joker 3.
Clearly.
I think that another thing, these films shouldn't really be called Joker. They should be called Arthur Fleck. And that we may be having a new Joker with that last scene being sort of... Yeah.
Those two crazy people.
Joker not being one person.
Who do you think was the visitor that he was going to see him?
I thought that he got set up by the
was
police
a setup because he didn't come back. Yeah, I thought it was a setup. I was like, why is he not coming back to say why?
It's definitely not going to be Harley, is it?
No.
Could be Harvey Dent, though.
I felt the...
Harvey's in hospital, probably. He looked really traumatised.
Yeah.
Another thing I like to point out as well about stereotypes of shared madness in movies as well is what I think they didn't do in here, which was quite good, because usually when they're portraying females with psychological issues, they're usually like hysterical or they hyper-sexualise them, where Harley Quinn wasn't hyper-sexualised. She was quite serious, you know, and I thought that was quite good. So I was expecting a lot of stereotypes in the Joker movie that wasn't there. So
very true.
I think they dealt with that part quite well. Awesome. Yeah.
Let's take it to the audience. Do you guys have any questions?
I think you guys were being way too nice with the movie. I thought it was a complete shit show. I would give it like a 1 out of 10. I only gave it 1 for the presence of Lady Gaga. And where do we even start? Because I didn't even like the first one. I thought the first one was just the definition of mediocrity. Because it was like they tried to be like apolitical, but like I don't even think they knew what they were doing. Because like the first movie was not like apolitical, but like it's almost like, you know, it's almost like they have, you know, this like same political view. It's like an edgy teenage boy. That's what I thought. But at least like the plot of the first movie, it was at least coherent. I don't know what's going on with the second one, like at all. And one thing that really pissed me off the most was like the only mention of queerness or homosexuality was just a rape scene. I thought that was like so bad work. Like, we're in 2024, like, come on, like, do better. Like, was that really necessary?
I do agree with you. I think that the scene changing him for the good, as the film wants you to believe, is that he has to be sexually assaulted in order to kind of gain some kind of clarity, is incredibly trite. It's incredibly cliche and troubling. In so much that, but you're right as well in the fact that the first film did not in all circumstances, and I'm not calling it, if you like the Joker one, I'm not calling you this, but it was adopted by a lot of sort of this incel culture, right? And it was sort of lauded as such. And I think that's why this film is such a sort of anti-Joker film, is that it's pushing against those ideas, but it's gone so far removed the other side that it's now...
Yeah.
It has its own problems with the way that it's trying to operate in its second form.
I can sort of see what Todd was trying to do for the second Joker, but it was almost like, to me, I think the biggest problem was like how we got there at the end. You know, how did Arthur suddenly decide that, you know, he was like not Joker anymore? To me, that just like, that was almost too sudden. That did not make any sense. That did not make any sense to me at all.
Same. I don't know if you feel the same. I was disappointed. This is not what I expected, and I don't know why the person who developed, obviously who produced this movie, decided to go and take that route. It was just from that point on, it kind of became predictable because I thought you might as well kill the character. And sadly, that's what they did. So, yeah, I agree with you for that.
Thanks for that, guys. Personally, this film to me felt as if they saw the energy from the first one. People really liked it. It was a great film. It was well made. It was powerful. It was dark. It made you think. This one felt as if they went out of their way to kill any form of rebellion. That's what I saw. By killing the Joker, you kill any sort of, like, this is what will happen, basically. The authorities will win, you'll lose in court, and then you'll basically end up dead. That's what it felt like to me, like that rebellious spirit that the Joker has. Especially in terms of, don't forget in the context that the Joker is the nemesis of Batman in the largest scale of this, right? Batman protects the rich and is an upstanding person in society. Joker's the complete opposite. So by killing him, you basically kill any sort of alternative thought or concept, which I didn't like. The musical aspect of things as well. That was rogue. That was just completely rogue. I completely agree. It was too long and it added no value to the film's content. I would have preferred if they just told more of the story and left out the musical element. It just didn't go with the film. And I would love to ask the people who made the film why they went down this path of killing the character, killing the spirit and leaving us disappointed pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, it's become quite apparently clear that Todd Phillips and maybe to an extent Joaquin Phoenix have got no interest really in being in this realm anymore. And this is kind of the denouement of it, to put it in musical sense. So I guess that's it. Wait until, you know, they've set up the potential spin-off with the new Joker at the end with the cutting his mouth and stuff, which they wanted to do in the first film. They wanted to finish the first Joker with him cutting his mouth in the smile. But Christopher Nolan was still at Warner Brothers at the time, and he put a kibosh on that and said that they weren't allowed to do it. So at least they finally got their ending they were looking for.
Thank you. So just want to say everybody sat up there, thanks very much for your comments as well. So I'm going to say something a bit controversial here. I feel like this film is going to be studied for years to come by film students, right? And I say this, if anybody's seen Sopranos, you know the ending of Sopranos and how it ended and how everybody hated it when it first came out. And then literally in the decades following, it's been dissected and you know everyone's now saying, oh, it's actually genius. You know, David Chase was genius. So Brad, what you said about, you know, the original film was adopted by, I guess, all this sort of incel culture. And I guess Joker became like one of those legendary edgelord movies, right? Where, you know, if anybody's unfamiliar with the term edgelord, it's like the whole beat up geek in the beginning of the film suddenly becomes like this confident Sigma male and like is now like overcoming the world and becomes a sort of standalone force by himself, right? And the Joker was kind of lauded as that film initially. And I feel like the second film is almost like the joke's on you, you know, for anybody who adopted that kind of Joker persona or, you know, I don't know if anybody saw the thousands of like different memes that have come out since the first Joker movie with like all these different quotes, like dark kind of edgy quotes with like the Joker. And I feel like Todd Phillips may have done this intentionally to say, you know, I'm going to torpedo this entire sort of mentality and this entire sort of, I guess, franchise by coming out of this film and making it a musical. You know, it kind of loses its power in a way.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree, yeah.
I don't think Arthur was ever ready to be the Joker and what the Joker represents.
You think it was forced upon him?
Yeah, the moniker.
Around him, or would you say he was trying to impress people? Because obviously he was dealing with rejection. Part of his psychological issue is rejection and those kind of things that caused him to have those issues, you know?
I don't think that Arthur could handle the kind of craze and attention Joker commanded when he realized, when Harley Quinn told him, do you realize all these people outside, they're here for you? And the first thing he did when he came back into court, painted his face as Joker, like to hide Archer, and then went, what happened, you know, in the bathroom. Then he switched back to Arthur.
Would you say it brought him back to being that little boy that was being 100%. Abused by his right stepfather?
Yeah. And that's why I felt very uncomfortable with that scene to begin with. I don't think it was necessary, but...
Oh, that's some really... There's some things you guys have said that I didn't think of. I didn't think that shower scene was that impactful. I thought they just kicked him around and that was it.
Yeah, it was random. No, they pulled his pants. You could tell what they were implying, you know?
It was implied.
And it wasn't even sexual. It was more about shaming him, like trying to bring him down.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't concerned about sexually raping him. They wanted to rape him internally, like his spirit.
To break him.
Break him, yeah. It was that control.
Yeah,
because obviously he was acting too powerful, you know, had a lot of influence.
Yeah, because I was somewhere, probably a past podcast, and they were talking about how even during the war and things like that, like men, as an act of like dominance, would like rape or like just sort of have that sort of act.
That's how they controlled a lot of the people in slavery as well and stuff like that, you know.
Break him.
Yeah. I didn't notice that.
So they took his pants down, and when they did that and they threw him on the floor, obviously they didn't show, but it was enough for you to understand what was going on.
Yeah. What were like?
And as soon as he walked in court and looking wearing black, yeah. I just knew.
Oh, yeah. Nice one. Thank you all very much. Are there any last thoughts? Because we only got about 5 minutes left.
Just wonder if they were to want to expand, like you said, with the man who just cut himself, which direction do you think, if there was to be a third Joker, where could we go from there, based on that ending?
Well, it won't be Todd Phillips doing it, I don't think. I don't know. Like, I'm over the character. I've been over him for quite a while. You know. So... if they wanted to, I mean, the thing is, it's been bookended so that it could end like that, never make another film, and that just be the end of this iteration of Joker. Or it gives them the option to spread it out to whoever did that to Arthur at the back. I've no interest really in either, to be honest.
Because sitting on the topic of the shared madness, again, we're looking at it in the aspect of a couple, which it mainly is. But again, we've got to remember, you can have shared madness, like when I mentioned earlier, politically, you know, like... people, So he obviously got his God complex from his grandfather that got passed down from his dad to him. So then again, they've got a cult. Cults can also be seen as shared madness if you want to spectrum out on, you know, the topic. You know, again, politically, you can have people following you from country, like even looking at the movie The Joker, if you want to base it on
guns.
That. The clowns, I know they were doing their own thing, but a lot of the clowns ended up being influenced by him maybe and started killing. So, you know, like there's different aspects of shared madness.
Mm-hmm.
So based on what you asked, maybe again, that's why it ended like that. That guy actually was sharing Joker's madness, was influenced by it. Yeah. And he just got killed with his own sword, basically.
You can kill the man, but you can't kill the idea.
Doesn't this then set up like a future?
Yeah, and maybe that's the message he was trying to give us, was the shared madness message at the end.
Yeah.
When they showed us the guy literally showing, well, I can be Joker as well, like, you know.
And that's why he killed him.
And yeah.
So I feel like that sets up for another sort of generation of a Joker. The only thing is, would it be Lady Gaga again? Would it be a different Harley Quinn? Or is Harley Quinn just like another Joker figure that sort of is there with the Joker? Anyway, thank you very, very much.
Great
this
topic.
Has been amazing.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Thanks for sticking around, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you all so much.